All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tana.
Good morning.
Good to see you all this morning. We're glad you're with us today. This is the day the Lord has made. And yeah, exactly. We're going to do all of that. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad. It's a good day to be alive. We just have come straight from the prayer room where we just spent the last, 45 minutes with our there's a group of people that come every Sunday morning here at 8 o'clock in the morning and just start praying and enjoying the presence of the Lord before we ever come into the sanctuary. And, man, it was good back there.
It was. God is real
and
He's present.
Amen. So what we like to do with our pre-service time every Sunday is rather than just talk about what's happening and doing announcements and any of that. No, who we are. We're a people who love to see Holy Spirit move and touch people in a personal way. And so we always take this time and we just pray over, prophesy over, speak the word of the Lord over those who, encouraging word, promise you, an encouraging word over those who join us. So if you're coming online with us, we'd love for you to say hello so we know you're here. And if you give us a shout out or we see your name come across the screen, then we're going to take the opportunity to pray over you and minister to you. And so do you see anybody so far?
Watching or going to be watching, and you feel like you're under this dark, heavy blanket. And the Lord says, throw it off.
That's
it's
good.
It's not as heavy, it's not as big, it's not as dark as what the enemy would have you to believe. Just throw it off and let the sun shine in.
Yeah, that's good. While you're saying that, too, I also felt like while we were praying a while ago, we were talking about the river of God and being in the river of God and the flow and not being afraid of where God's taking us. And I felt like the Lord is speaking to someone today that it's time to take the leap. I have a memory of when I was a senior in high school and took a trip on a river rafting trip, and our canoe got stuck between two rocks, and I was on top of this rock, and I had to decide if I was going to jump in the water or just stand on that rock for the rest of my life. And I was scared. I was scared. It was raging rapids, and I was scared, but I took the leap into that water and was pulled to shore where I needed to be. But the word, I felt like the picture the Lord was giving me is like, there's some things that the Lord has laid on your heart that that are going to be like a little bit, I don't know, should I do that? Should I jump into that? And I feel like the Lord's just giving you the word and saying, no, come on, don't be afraid. I got you. I'm the river. You're in the river. The river's in you. And go for it. Take the leap into the new that God has for you, that new idea that the Lord has placed on the inside of you. Go for it. Go for it and see what the Lord does.
That's right. It might entail having a conversation with somebody that's uncomfortable for you. But just open your mouth and the roots are going to come out. And you're going to be so thankful that you did it.
Yeah, even like a little whisper in your heart tomorrow that is like, go up and ask them if you could pray for them. And you're just going to obey that little, your heart maybe is going to be pounding because you're like, I don't normally do that. But as you take that step of faith, the Lord is going to meet you there and the river is just going to flow through you. It's going to be life-giving and that person needs what you have and what you carry. So take the leap of faith. Gosh, I feel like, just real quick too, I feel like even for someone, it's a new business idea that you're like, I want to try this new thing, but I'm a little bit scared to take the leap. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, hey, it's okay. You don't worry about failing. You're like, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it does? And even if it didn't, even if the idea you didn't work, what if it led to another idea? And so take the leap of faith and know that the steps of a righteous person, the leaps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord.
So.
Oh, Jim Schaefer, good man of God right there.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for Jim, God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Alive today, exactly where you placed him, God.
Yep. I just see a picture of you, Jim, and I don't know. Somehow I see like feel like a little deja vu, like I've seen this before over you. So I don't even know if that's true or if I just feel that way, but it's like, I see you staring into the sunrise. It's like, wow, just like this vast expanse in front of you. And I heard the word in Psalms where it says he's put your feet in a spacious place. He's set you in your boundary lines in pleasant places. And then I feel like he's saying, Jim, I am expanding and extending your territory. I'm enlarging your heart even that you could run to do my will. That's what Solomon prayed. Enlarge my heart that I may run to do your will. And he says, I'm enlarging your heart. I'm enlarging your territory. I'm enlarging your sphere of influence. And it's like as far as the eye can see. Like there, you know, the scripture says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Well, Jesus is a straight gate and a narrow way, but he's brought you in through him to a spacious place now. And the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. I declare it over you.
And Jim, I get a picture like almost like you, one day you got bucked off of a horse. This isn't, you didn't really get bucked off the horse, but to compare it to this, you get bucked off of a horse and now you're standing, like Brent said, with a sun rising, a new day, mm-hmm. and you're looking at that horse again and saying, do I dare try again? And God says, get on the horse and ride again. Get on the horse and ride again, Jim. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
He'll keep you there. There's nothing to fear. Just get on the horse and ride again, because there mm-hmm. are people that are watching you, and the testimony of your trying again is going to it's gonna help many people more than what you'll even understand and know.
Yes, amen. So we bless Jim today.
Yeah.
We declare in Jesus' name, Jim, that you prosper and you are in health even as your soul is prospering.
Yeah.
And we bless
amen.
You in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Terry Caston.
All right, Terry Caston. Thank you for Terry, Lord. Thank you
we
for
do
Terry,
God.
Lord.
We thank you for Terry.
Terry, when we started praying, I saw a trampoline. And I just saw you bouncing up and down and up and down and up and down. And like this joy of going higher than you thought you could. And I just feel like that's part of what the Lord is saying through this. Is like you're going higher, and your ministry, your call, the way the Lord ministers through you, you're going higher and further than you thought you could. God is putting a tool in your hands that is going to extend your reach. That's what I'm hearing, that he's putting tools in your hands that, like a trampoline, that'll extend your reach and make it even easier. You're not, it's that trampoline almost throws you up in the air, and it's like the Lord's saying, you know, it's not, and you know this already, it's not in your striving or in your trying, it's in your trusting. And as you are, it's like, I don't only see you on the trampoline, but I see Holy Spirit jumping on there with you. And it's, we used to do this when we were kids on our trampoline. You'd hit right before the other person. And when you do them, you throw them up even higher. And I see Holy Spirit just laughing and saying, watch this, Terry. You think you've experienced some amazing things. Well, wait for this one. And it's like in good hits. I know sometimes we talk about, I got hit and it's a bad thing. These are good hits. Hit after hit after hit. The hits just keep on coming.
That's interesting, because I saw her, God, like setting her up on a high, high hill.
Oh,
mountain,
wow.
Actually. Not a hill. It was a mountain. And I hear him saying, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Shout it out.
Come
Shout
on.
It out to all who are below that can hear you.
Come on. I agree. So, Father, thank you for Terry today, God. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to know the depth, the width, the breadth, and the height of your love, Lord. And I just pray into that even more, Lord, that just greater and greater revelations of your love that is so great for Terry, God. That not only is she going deep in your love, but, Lord, your love is propelling her to higher heights than she's ever flown in before.
Amen.
You're an eagle, Terry. You're an eagle. You're catching an updraft.
Yeah,
we
amen.
We declare it over you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Linda Lilly, our good friend.
Oh, we love you, Linda.
Washington, I think she is.
Yeah.
We
Thank
do,
you
God.
For Linda.
We ask
Thank
that you
God.
Bless her in just a tangible way today, Lord God. Pour out your spirit right where she is, God. Let her sense the manifest presence of God. God, for the pain in her body right now, I ask that you would touch it and it would instantly leave.
Yeah, I agree. In Jesus' name, completely healed. In fact, I see like the thing I heard immediately, we even started praying for you, is I felt like the Lord said, tell Linda I love her song. I tell her I love her song. When you hum and when you sing,
yeah.
and even when you don't even know that you were humming, and someone says, what are you singing? And you're like, I didn't even know I was singing. And there's a song that the Lord has put in your heart. And I feel like he's even saying, David has this psalm that says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And So I just see even a new song rising up on the inside of you. It's like the Lord said, he's so pleased that you've learned to even sing in the valley.
Yeah.
Like you, it echoes off the valley walls.
Yes.
Like you sing in the valley and it just fills everywhere around you. It's like, here's what I see happening. When you sing, the brown, desolate land around you begins to bloom.
Yeah.
The desert begins to bloom and the beauty around you begins to manifest through the song that you release. Your song, Linda, is more powerful than you even know. And he's putting a new song in your mouth today.
Amen. I agree with that, Brent.
You got something for Linda?
Let's see.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know. I see you like out in an apple orchard and you reach in and you're picking apples. And it's like other people walk past these trees and they say, oh, there's no fruit on these trees. But you're the kind of person that knows how to go in deep, to reach in higher and to harvest what really is there. And you kind of do that with people's lives too. You know how to dig deep and pull out the good of them.
Yes.
So, and that pleases your Father. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Bless you today.
Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Linda today.
Yeah, thank you, God.
Who else do we have? Can you see it on mine better?
Linnea's watching. Debbie Whitehead is watching.
Oh, those are both good ones, too.
Somebody else was watching. Oh, Pearl was watching.
Let's minister to Pearl.
Okay.
So, Lord, we thank you for Pearl, God. We thank you for she and Ryan. We thank you for your hand on their life. We thank you, Lord, for a season. I feel like, Pearl, the word that I hear is even as it's turning spring, and it's almost like in South Dakota, it's crazy this year how early we get to have spring. And I just feel like the Lord is saying in the same way it's springtime in you and Ryan's life right now, that you've gone through a season where it looked like winter and it seemed sometimes cold and it seemed like the trees weren't blooming. But I feel like the Lord said it's in those times right then that he was doing a deep work on the inside of you that you couldn't see and preparing you for the blossoming of brand new promises. And this is for you and Ryan and your whole family, that there's promises that he's placed on the inside of you guys that are some that you haven't seen, but even some that you're not even aware of yet that I think in this season that are going to begin to stir, like seeing new blossoms on trees. I think of those trees we see in May. I don't even know what kind they are that have such bright, those beautiful colors.
Yeah.
And I feel like that God is just, he's coloring your life right now. It's not gray, but it's like brilliant colors of his goodness and his love and his promises.
Amen. And it's like, I think she's going to be surprised even. She'll look at one portion of her life and say, oh, I never knew it was so brilliant. I never knew it looked that good. And just, over and over, you're gonna see new areas of your life being colored in like that. But
yeah.
I also felt like the Lord was saying that because you're a woman of truth and integrity, he is like put a megaphone up to your mouth, and God says you have a story to tell. And I don't know if this is gonna come out through just speaking, or if you're supposed to write a book or something. But there's a story to tell that the world should hear, and he's gonna show you the steps to take to release it.
Yeah.
Many will be changed by it. Systems will be changed by it. So don't fear, you know, be bold in what he puts in your mouth to release.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I thank you, Lord, for the prophetic flow.
That's right.
And I just see the rainbow. I see a rainbow over your house.
Come on.
And it's a moving rainbow. It's not just over your house. It's over each one of you in your lives. And you're never going to be at a place that a rainbow is not over your head. You should listen to that song. There's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. I can't remember who does that song.
But if you just put that in, you should get it.
Learned it from my granddaughter. There's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
That's right.
Oh, come on. If you could see what I see, there's a million different colors, red and orange, blue and green,
right.
And I think a million others. So tie up the boat, take off your coat, and take a look around for, what does it say? The sky is finally open, and the winds and rain stop blowing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It is. It is. You'll have to listen to it, or maybe you already know it, but I agree that that's a now word for you right today.
Let go of your umbrella.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
Amen.
Always. Always will be.
That's right. You're a testimony of hope, Pearl.
Yes, yes.
Everywhere you go, you release hope into the room. You release hope into the situation. The favor of God is upon you, and people see that.
Amen. I agree.
Amen.
I agree.
Well, it's 9:14.
It's about time to get this shindig started. Right. Let's get the party started.
We love you, Lene and Debbie and Terry. Get well, Terry.
Yeah, we speak healing over Terry's body right now in Jesus' name.
Right now.
The worship team is on their way up. They are getting prepared right now to take it. So let's pray over our time. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Chris and the team leading us right now, even as we prayed for them earlier. Thank you, Lord, that there is just a freedom for them to go wherever you lead them, just like we prayed in the prayer room. Lord, wherever you take them, there's no pressure on them,
right?
Just freedom. Freedom to be who they are and to lead the way you called them to lead. And
Amen.
We're going to ride the rapids this morning.
We
just declare it, and we thank you for life, 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 life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's rock.
Good morning, church family. Yeah. The Lord has brought us together for a good day. For today is the day that He has made. I know I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. As you find your seats, I'm going to pray and we're going to get worshiping. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the work you're doing, stemming from your character, promise keeper, light in the darkness. We thank you that it's about you and your grace, not about us and our performance. We thank you that it's not about how we behave, it's about what you did, Jesus, which causes us to have all that good fruit. Thank you that it's not about focusing on our sin, but it's about focusing on our Savior. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love. His love for me, who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
As ransom, His grace runs. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. The sun sets free. Who is free in me? I'm a child. Love God. No one is taking God off the throne. And that's what he says. Yes, you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Ooh, you are so great.
Let's do it again. Let's go again.
stop singing how great you are. We will never stop singing how great you are. We will never stop singing how great you are. Turns out, beloved, the angels and saints, they got a little bit of a head start on us. And they're not stopping. This is a song that's been going for eternity. Worthy. Yes. Holy, holy, holy. We're just joining them, guys. We're not generating this. We're just partnering with. We're just joining them, guys. We are not generating this right now. Holy, holy, holy. Yes, this song's been going on for eons. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Do we sing with the angels and the saints today? Holy, holy, holy. Yes. Holy, holy, holy. Yes, we worship out of a place of thankfulness, of gratitude, of knowing who our King is. We don't worship to get to a place. We worship from that place. We partner with what is already happening. We don't generate some kind of energy or any of that other kind of stuff, get all hyped up. We partner with what God has already done, and it's so good. Oh man, come on. Yeah, it's so good. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh man, it's all about Jesus. And I would say, oh, it ain't got nothing to do with you. It's all about Jesus. But it's got everything to do with you. It's got so much to do with you. He died for you. The only thing it has to do with you is pure love towards you. That is not affected by your behavior.
Lamb was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Everything, and I will
filled with wonder.
Filled with wonder. Awestruck wonder. At the mention of your name.
Let's do it again. Let's go.
Jesus, your name is power. Breath of living water. Sat down to pick songs. This one really jumped out at me. I think a lot of us need to sing about our soul being well. We aren't the soul keepers. Jesus is. He makes us well. Beloved. And this isn't a sing to believe you're well. It's a sing from being well. Yes, we all have brains, and they all get scattered and mushed and overworked. That does not change that it is finished. And Jesus says it's well. I know it's hard to sing in times like these when we're inundated with every piece of information. But we're praising the Lord today, knowing that He makes well. He makes the way. And He's still in control. Remember, guys, you zoom out. This is a small place. Jesus has it under control. Yes, brains do run amok. Brains do get confused, but we have a soul too, and that is in front of the brain. So we're going to sing from the spirit to the brain. We're not going to sing from the brain just checking to see if it's well yet. We ain't doing that, because the brain don't have the final say. So don't let it have any say whether or not it's well or not, because Jesus said it is well. It's going to happen. Your brain's going to be like, oh, is it well? Is it well? That's just a survival organ, seeing if it can still survive. We are past that. We are eternal. So the next time your brain wants to put it in check, see if everything's okay. Remember, it's just a survival organ. And we are eternal. No need to survive. Eternally alive. Thank you, Lord. And earth has quaked before.
Yeah.
So I call my soul. God, we just declare it's well with us, Lord. No matter where we are, Lord God, no matter circumstances, Lord, thank you that you are with us. We're with you. We got God, Jesus. Doesn't matter what we're going through, you're with us. We just say it's well, God. It's well, Lord God, on the mountaintops, Lord God. It's well in the valley because you're walking through it with us, Lord. We just thank you that you're our good Papa, God, that you're our good shepherd, that you stand beside us, God, that you take on the enemy for us, Lord God, that you hold us in your arms, Lord God, while we're going through that valley, while we're in the battle, Lord God, you're holding us close and destroying, God, the things in front of us, Lord God, that don't belong. So we praise you. We praise the God who is, the God who is near. And we walk by faith, Lord. We walk knowing you've got it. You've got this, Lord God. So thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for suddenlies today. Suddenly just joy just shaking us to the core, God. Suddenly peace just coming in when it just seemed like it wasn't there. God, suddenly your love just floods our heart and we can't help but weep, Lord. We just thank you for suddenlies. Come on. You say, ask and it'll be given to you. So we thank you for suddenlies right now. You say, knock and the door will be open. So we say, suddenlies right now, God. You say, seek and you'll find. So we say, God, suddenlies with you right now. Sudden peace, sudden joy, sudden love, sudden hope, sudden trust, sudden goodness of God all over. All over. Suddenly visions. Suddenly speaking in tongues. Suddenly prophesying. Suddenly miracles happening, God. Suddenly we're in a new dimension. We didn't even realize it. Suddenly heaven. Come on. Yeah. Have your way, God. This is your service. This is your service. This is your time, God. We just say, have your way. We just say the enemy's been defeated in Jesus' name. Come on. Yeah. Go, Jesus. Come on. And everybody said, amen. Come on. Okay, well, welcome to the gate. Go ahead and linger in that as long as you can without getting distracted by people on microphones and stuff, but... We're a welcoming family encountering God. That's who we are. And the rest of our mission statement, we're raising up world changers through biblical teaching, spirit-led worship. What else, Brent? Persistent prayer. Is that the end? Yeah, that's the end. So that's who we are as a house. We love the stirrings of God. We love to recognize Him, that He's here. That he's the miracle worker. This is his time, right? This is his time. So this is your time. This is your time to hear his voice, feel his presence, and just know he's here. And even if you don't sense any of that, this is just, you're welcome. We want you here because it's going to happen. So he's a good father. So for the first 10 minutes after worship, we like to just practice hearing his voice. So if you feel like, man, I really feel like I'm hearing from God this morning. Maybe it's a name. Maybe it's a sickness with that name. Or maybe you're like, I'm hearing the slightest, silliest whisper. Sometimes those slightest, silliest things turn into just radical breakthrough for somebody in the room or somebody joining us online. So, yeah, those of you joining online, go ahead and text us in what you're getting. Those of you here, go ahead and text us in what you're getting. And all these mighty kiddos are going to have some of their own stuff, and they're going to pray back what you send in too. So, I'll just kick us off. I felt like I was getting the name Aiden this morning, and that Aiden was dealing with headaches or pressure on his brain or something like that. So is there an Aiden joining us this morning? maybe online, maybe it's a friend. We're just going to pray for Aiden, believing that God's got his eye on Aiden and that he's healing him. So you mighty ones, you guys want to help me? Let's do this. So Jesus,
thank you.
That you're alive.
That you are alive.
That you're here.
That you are here.
You're here right now.
You're here right now.
And we just lift up Aiden.
We lift up Aiden.
We say pressure go.
We say pressure go. We
say headaches get out.
Headaches get out.
We say be healed.
Be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God, I pray for bad aches. Back aches. I pray that they'll be healed. They won't hurt anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right. Yep, I had another younger person tell me the name Rosie, and that Rosie was dealing. I just got a picture of Rosie with a like back shoulder ache. So, is there a Rosie with us this morning? Rosie, Rose. I saw a hand. Okay, we're going to pray for Rosie and Rose. So, Jesus.
Thank you.
For Rosie.
A rose.
She's yours. She's the lily. She's yours. She's your beauty. So we declare.
Just pain, get out of her body.
Get out of her back. Get out of her shoulder. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. Good one. Okay.
We have several people who are requesting prayer over Israel, specifically over Jerusalem.
Come on. Thank you, God.
You say if you touch Jerusalem.
You touch the apple of my eye. So we lift up the Jewish people. Open their eyes, God. Let them look upon. The one that they pierced. Let them say yes to you, Jesus. We declare peace over Jerusalem. We declare that Lebanon.
In Egypt.
In Saudi Arabia. Will become allies. You will have your way in the Middle East. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray for healthy pregnancies.
Ooh, yes, let's do that. You want to pray for that one?
Yes, okay. Yes. God, we just thank you, God, for life. We thank you that you care about the unborn. We thank you that you care about those teeny tiny little ones long before they take their first breath, God. And so I just pray over any mother right now who's carrying a little one. We just ask for perfect health over her body. We pray for perfect health over the babies. And we just declare full-term pregnancies, God, with healthy children, God. And we just declare life. We even extend that prayer for healthy pregnancies over those who want to be pregnant.
Come on. Yes.
We just ask, God, that you would bring forth life, God, even where there has maybe been people who have said there cannot be life in the womb. We declare life right now.
Yes.
And we just say, come forth in the name of Jesus.
Ago, a boy named Benton died, and my whole class suffers with panic attacks, and we're just really depressed.
Come on. Yeah, let's pray for it. Garrettson, is that what you said? Yeah. So let's just pray. Jesus. We just lift up this whole class.
In
Garrettson. Just missing their friend. And we just bind the lies. We bind the fear. We say they're not the next ones. That God, you give them life. And life more abundant. We say anxiety leave. Fear death get out. And the perfect peace of God just replace it all.
The perfect peace of God replace it all.
Bless them, Jesus.
Bless them, Jesus. Yeah. And we pray specifically for Taylor, God. We thank you for her courage to say some of the things that maybe her classmates or her peers are feeling, but it's not voiced, God. And we thank you that when those lies are exposed, God, then the lightness comes in and that lie and that darkness is gone. And so we just thank you for Taylor, God. We just declare perfect mind, body, emotions, everything over her, Jesus, and that you would just replace any fear or anxiety with the perfect love of Jesus, and that she would even go out and lay hands on her peers, and she would release that even upon her generation, that you would raise her up, God, raise up this generation to be those who set captives free, and they declare the name of Jesus, and that a whole generation would be set free from this depression and anxiety. We say no more in Jesus' name.
Come on, all right. We got one more?
Yes.
All right.
Let's pray for Bill Munz, who has cancer. Let's pray for his healing.
Yeah, let's command it to go. So Jesus. We just lift up Bill, who's in the back there.
Yes.
We lift up Bill. We bind this diagnosis. And we just go to the root. We say, Jesus, you're the healer. Cancer, you are canceled. You gotta go. In Jesus' name. We just say healing over Bill. That every cancer cell would leave right now. Jesus' name, we just declare the fire of God over Bill.
Yes, the fire of God over Bill.
Name.
Yes,
fire,
Jesus.
Burn it out, God.
Yes,
get
the
it
fire
out.
Of God.
Get it out.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, one more.
Dear God, please heal my mom right now. Amen.
Heal my mom right now. Amen. Come on. That's so good. Good job, Elena. All right. We're going to transition our worship time here a little bit. Kiddos can be released to kids' church. We have 3 classrooms for them this morning. A nursery all the way down this first hallway to the right. A 3- and 4-year-old room, which is the first classroom all the way down this hallway to the right. And then a gymnasium for all the 5- to 11-year-olds to learn about Jesus in. And what else?
Yes, and for our youth students, so any student who is in grade 6 through 12 is invited to come upstairs to the youth room where we'll have donuts and we'll dig into the word together.
Ooh. And we're going to move into our offering time too this morning. And there is self-serve communion at the offering. So if you want to just take a little time to just remember, this is a great time of year just to remember what Jesus did for us, for his sacrifice, the love he asked for us. So here at Church of the Gate, the way that we do our offering is that we just come down this middle aisle. You can give online. You can give any form that you want to. What's the word I'm looking for?
Text.
Thank you. Text. Yes. For you text.
Text
people.
Online.
Yeah, there we go.
Whatever form you prefer.
That's what I'm going for right there. Yeah, so whatever form you prefer.
Next gen, Pastor, not it last
just,
gen.
It just didn't flow. You know what I mean? Yeah, so anyway. If you want to give, come on up. We're going to transition into that, and we're just going to bring our offerings to the Lord. So, Jesus, we just thank you. God, I just thank you for abundance, God, over our family. God, that you're blessing them. We just declare, God, that these seeds, God, are going to sow into the nations, are going to sow into hearts, going to create salvations. Lord God, you're going to use it, God, to just bless people. So, God, we love you. Thank you for giving. God, thank you for who you are, God. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be shy now.
morning. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we just thank you for making things well within our souls, God, that we don't have to strive to do it, that we can just rest and receive. Thank you, Lord. Bless Brent as he delivers this message, and have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Yeah. We are so blessed, aren't we? Oh, my goodness. Chris and Doug and Micah and Brandon and Michelle. And anytime we can get Matt Muntz back in the house. Get Animal in the drum cage. We have made a commitment to cage-free drummers by 2025. in a desire to be healthy and organic. So,
amen.
Exactly. We love you guys. Welcome this morning. My name's Brent. I'm lead pastor here at the Gate. It's great to have you with us today. And if you're new to the house, you maybe have never done this before. You'll notice under the seat in front of you, there's a Bible. Inside that Bible is a welcome home card. We want to invite you to fill that out and tell us a little bit more about yourself this morning. So at the end of service, you'll take that card to the right-hand side of our sanctuary in the back. We have a bookstore back there. And we want to encourage you to take your card back there, and they'll take that and give you a free gift as a way of saying thanks for hanging out with us. We're glad you're here. Online family, as always, we're glad you're with us this morning as well. Welcome, welcome. The Jesus moving here is the Jesus moving there. And if you are, sometimes I know that Ryan or some of the others and the kids will call out names, words of knowledge. That's just a name that the Lord spoke to them that they shouldn't have known except he spoke it into their heart. And maybe that person wasn't in the room, but you're online. Would you let us know? We would love to hear those testimonies and share about how God, and sometimes it happens not even in the moment, but later on down the line, someone's watching and God can bring healing. Because this thing stays, you know, you put it on the internet and it stays there so that people can continue to be ministered to. And if your name is called out, let us know, because we would love to celebrate what God is doing. We want to be those kind of people who, you remember Jesus healed the 10 and only one came back, right? You remember that story? We want to be like the one that came back. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because when you share what God is doing for you, it encourages somebody else. And the root, as you guys know, we've talked about it many times, the root word for testimony means what? Do it again, right? Do it again. So it prophesies over people and they begin to receive the same miracle that you received. All right, so a few things I want to let you know about this morning. As always, you can check out the QR code that's going to be on the screen and find out more about who we are and what's going on here at the Gate. But a few things I want to draw your attention to. One is we're going to show another episode of The Chosen. The only way now that you can see, if you don't know what The Chosen is, many of you probably do, but it began as a crowdfunded, I think the best, absolute best, most well done, not only Christian project, but just one of the best series I've ever seen. Fantastic. And so we're in season 4 of that. They showed it in theaters, and now there's some different things going on where they can't yet put it on the app to stream it. So some people actually came together and paid so that we could show it in churches. So it's free to us. And it can only be seen in churches right now. And so we showed the first episode of season 4 a few weeks ago. And so our life groups proper, like as far as like the normal life groups that meet on Wednesday night, are done. But they're not done because we're going to keep going with The Chosen. And so we're going to have, yeah, how about that, right? So, which we're super thankful for. Terry has agreed to keep making the awesome dinners at 5 o'clock. So, so good. Yeah, I know. Isn't she awesome? Terry's really awesome. Terry's really cool because she's part of the team. She is. She's awesome. So we're going to have dinner at 5 like always, and then 6 o'clock we'll come in the sanctuary. There'll still be youth, and there'll still be children's ministry as well. So those, and Alpha, sorry. Alpha's still going too. Don't end Alpha too early, right? Yeah, so Alpha's still happening, so we encourage you to, if you're a part of Alpha, that's still going on. But for the rest of us, you want to come, the adults, that we'll be together here on Wednesday night, and we want you to be a part of that at 6 o'clock for the next episode. Water baptism coming up April the 28th. if you've never been water baptized, we would love to for that to happen for you. There's a way that you can sign up online, and you can also, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer on your way out today. Jot your name down if you're interested. Put your phone number on there so we can get in contact with you. And we'd love to talk to you about that and love to help that happen for you. Parents, we're not a church that believes that only pastors can baptize. Believers can baptize other believers. And so we have many times parents baptizing their children, friends that baptize one another. Tana and I were in Israel a few years ago, and we baptized each other in the Jordan River. So, yeah, husbands baptizing wives, wives husbands. So we would love to celebrate that morning with you, and if you want to be baptized, be sure and sign up for that. Ladies, your retreat is coming up May 3rd through the 5th at Swan Lake. The theme is the anointing and giving Jesus your yes. It's going to be awesome. I know Elizabeth Ennels is leading worship for that again this year, and the name of the speaker escapes me. It's Becky's sister, Sharon, and her... It, with a three-syllable last name. She's awesome. So, yeah, for those of you, it's $160, correct? But if you think, man, that just seems kind of steep, which honestly, guys, for two nights stay somewhere, all your food, and all that goes into making this retreat happen, it's actually, we're keeping it as low as we can. But also, it's an opportunity for those of you that say, you know what, two things. One, maybe you want to help sponsor a lady to be able to go. Or if you want to divide your payments out, they have said they would hold your checks for you. And so you could pay like part of it one month and another and break it out so it's a little easier for you to just give that way or pay that way. So don't miss out. Guys, husbands, make sure your wives can go and be a part of the ladies' retreat. Do whatever it takes for them to be able to be there. We want every lady to be able to be there that weekend. And then Tana asked me to let you know that our clothing that we're ordering, the theme for this year. Anybody know what our theme this year is?
Right here, right now.
You guys, stars on all of your charts. All of you guys get an A+ today. And everybody even gets graded on the curve. If you didn't know what it was, you got included in the A+, all right? So Tana felt like she said, you know what, we should have some clothing that says that on it. And so if you want to get that, there's different T-shirts, sweatshirts, and they have that a sign-up sheet available. You have to pay and order now. We won't be selling it later. It's a pre-order type of thing. So if you want to get your right here, right now, where I think Lene is going to be afterwards. Final day today to get your right here. You got to get it right here, right now. Very good, guys. Then I need to let you know I had announced last week that the men at the gate were going to have an axe throwing, but Jake texted me and said that basically people heard I was coming and got scared. Not true, but it did have to be canceled, so we apologize for that. And you guys pray. I mean, when I get my 2015 vision, then I can join the axe throwing party. Until then, it's a little scary for people, I know. I want to encourage you also, if you would consider serving on the Gate Cafe team. I made this call last week. I wanted to do it again this week. Lene is doing a wonderful job of having coffee, and yeah, it's so good. But she needs a team. And so she had one person last week that became a part of her team. But there's more of you out there that could serve and be a part of a team that helps us have coffee every Sunday. And then remember now, every first Sunday, we get to bring treats. Anybody wants to bring treats with you and share them? It's an opportunity for us to have a hospitality Sunday. We've been doing that, started that this month. But I want to encourage you to be a part of that team. And then one more announcement that I didn't tell you about Lance, but I do want to say this so that it's kind of planted in your mind. As we move toward the end of this life group season, we are again this year going to have life groups out there, which basically means stuff that's going to happen outside of the church. Last year we had gardening groups and a shepherding group, and we had all kinds of groups. We had a worship group. What?
Motorcycle
group. I think they're ready to go. Like, those guys are like, get your motor running. Right? Come on, dude. That was like a softball pitch to Rich. That was awesome, bro. So I want to encourage you guys to be a part of life groups out there. And what I mean by that is if you feel like you want to do a small group this summer, that's something that people could join in with you that you're already doing. Gardening, like I said, is any kind of option. Whatever you feel like you want to do, underwater basket weaving, whatever it is that your gifting is, and you want to pull some other people into that, I just want to encourage you guys to let us know. Go online and you can check out our groups there. You can fill out under forms on our website. You can fill out a form to lead a life group. And if you've led a life group before, can I just go ahead and tell you, just put your name. You don't have to every single time tell us when you joined the church and when you got saved and what your testimony was. We know you. If you're new and you've never led a group, we'll have you fill that part out. But we want to get as many groups going this summer as we can so that we can spend time together throughout the summer just enjoying one another and getting to know each other and experiencing God together. So, all right. That being said, you can grab your notes, grab your Bibles. And I do not know how this morning is going to go. I've been sick this week. I'm better now. But praise the Lord, right? But I was coughing and some kind of viral thing, I don't know. But they put me on steroids, so I might preach more like Arnold this morning. I'm not sure. But, and you know, if it's kind of one of those deals that I'm flying high on steroids and flying high on cold medicine and Holy Spirit all mixed together today. So we're gonna see what we end up with today. And here's what I'm declaring in my weakness, he is strong. What we really need is something from him anyways, right? So I want to continue today talking, and all this year, we'll stay on this theme of right here, right now, specifically in the series that I've been calling Today, Learning to Live Life Right Here and Right Now, not being caught in our past or future tripping, but learning to live with our ever-present God who is right here, right now. And our theme verse is Psalm 118, verse 24. And I want to invite you to read that out loud with me. It's going to be on the screen. So let's read this together again. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So you read a verse like that, and we've read this for several weeks now. You read a verse like that, and how many of you know some days you don't really feel that? I bet I'm not the only one, right? That there's some days, yeah, that's a great verse. That's, you know, it's wonderful to have that hung on your refrigerator. It's a wonderful verse. It's a great song. We sang that song last week. Today is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. But some days you don't feel that. And what Chris said to us this morning was so, so, so important. It really was. Our brains will try to run our lives. And David actually would have these points where he would say things like this. So he would talk to himself, right? It's actually a great, it's biblical to talk to yourself. And he would say, hey, soul, why are you downcast? Hope in God. Like he would tell himself that. Well, you know what that means? He didn't feel hopeful, right? He felt downcast. That was actually what he was going through in the moment. So it's not denial. Right, there's this side of positive confession that swept through the church several years ago, and it was kind of like, how are you doing? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Whatever anybody asks you, you just, I'm amazing, I'm incredible, everything's great in my life, I never have a problem. And it led to a lot of plastic fruit. You know what I mean by plastic fruit? It looks good in the bowl, but you go up and you try to bite out it, and it's not real, right? And so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about denying. All you got to do is read through the Psalms and see that David did not live in denial. He laid it all out there. He laid out his pain, his struggle, his anger. It's all in there. And that your Bible is full of emotions, right? And every single person that walked with the Lord processed through their emotions. And so David kind of laid out this pattern for us. He had discovered a secret that, thank the Lord, because we have our scripture, it's been passed on to us, that David taught us, that we can talk to ourselves. And we can say, hey soul, I know you're downcast right now. Brent, I know you're depressed. I know you're downcast. I know you're a little bit sad, or a lot sad, or mad, or angry, or whatever. But I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. Hey, you guys officially right now are the ordained prophets of your own life. I declare it over you right now in Jesus' name. Spanamosute. You are ordained right now. We just did it. And so now, I have no idea what I just said. I hope that wasn't a bad word in Latin. But you are the prophets of your own lives. In other words, you get to be the voice in your life. You have authority in Jesus to speak over your own life and your own self and say, hey, and listen, I know, I mean, I'm living this thing with you guys. It's not always easy to do it, and I don't even want to do it sometimes. Anybody ever get there? I don't even want to tell myself, come on, soul, trust in God. I'm like, no, I think I'm gonna watch Netflix for 5 hours and eat Doritos. And I have done that. You don't get a body like this in a gym. All right? So, I mean, I've done that. I've made that choice, and I have reaped what I've sown in those areas when I've done that before. But I tell you what, my life goes a lot better. It really does. It goes a lot better when I stop and I will say, no, wait a minute, Brent, here's the truth. You learn that, those of you that have gone through Ultimate Journey know what I'm doing. Tapping myself right now and saying, Brent, here's what's true of you, right? Soul, you're going to trust in God because God is good. So when we read this passage, like I talked about last week, you could lift it out, and I don't even think it's inappropriate to take just this verse by itself. But it's even richer in its context. As we learned last week, it's inside of a group of psalms called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. And so it's about the deliverance of God, and we talked about that last week, that he's our faithful deliverer. And one of the reasons that this verse is there is because the psalmist is able to rejoice and say, hey, I'll tell you why I'm rejoicing, because I'm delivered. That's why I'm rejoicing. So what I want to do is I want to go back through the psalm now in the next few weeks, and I will tell you right up front, we're not gonna do the whole psalm, or it would be the rest of the year. I started to do that, and I'm like, nope. I'm just going to have to ask you, Holy Spirit, to highlight the areas you want us to highlight. Now, you go deep with it. I've told you this before. My job as a pastor is not to feed you, but to read the menu. And so we're going to highlight some things that are on the menu in this psalm, but I'm going to encourage you to go back and go deep in it because there's some great context. This verse doesn't stand alone. It sits inside of this psalm, and it is a beautiful psalm. So here's where we start this morning. Why would the psalmist say this, and how can we can say that we're going to rejoice today? Why can we say that? Because in your notes, today we rejoice, and I mean this with everything in my body, everything inside of me, because God is good. Amen. I'm here to preach a good God to you this morning with good news. Not 75% good and 25% not so good. I'm talking God is 100% through and through good. It's kind of like that idea that, you know, God is love, and someone will say, well, yes, God is love, but careful there, Pastor, God's also just. I would say God is 100% love. John sure didn't have a problem making that statement in his epistle. God is love. He didn't follow it with a qualifier. God is love. Now, in the context of the whole of Scripture, what I would say is, God is love, therefore he's just. His justice flows from his love. Everything that God does, always, through and through, 100%, flows from his love. His anger flows from his love. Oh, we're going to get there. We'll talk about that in this psalm. Flows from his love. Everything about God. In the same way, I don't want to preach to you this morning, God is good, but no. In fact, let me go ahead and let you know. I pretty much know, reading through my notes last night, and this is not odd for me. I know you guys know this. We are not going to make it through this today. You would think, 39 years I've been preaching, you would think in 39 years I would learn how to put notes together for one sermon. I'm working on it. Pray for me, guys. Pray for me. So today we rejoice because God is good, and he's good all the time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love, his faithful love, endures forever. That's the very first verse of this psalm. Give thanks to the Lord for why? For he is good, and his faithful love endures forever. You can write this in your notes. God is and has always been good. There's never been a time that God wasn't good. He didn't change faces in the New Testament. He didn't become a different God. God is, when Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus is the same yesterday, it doesn't just mean yesterday in Galilee. It means yesterday eternally. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's never been a time, there's never been a moment, there's never even been the briefest moment in God that doesn't flow from His goodness. He is good, good, good. And He's even gooder than I'm going to preach Him. God is gooder than, I don't care if the grammar's right. You know, somebody, where's your grammar? She's with my grandpa. So, pray for me, guys. Pray for me. So before we start reading this menu or eating off of this beautiful platter, anytime, I almost didn't go where I'm about to go this morning. I almost didn't go here, only because to go here, we're about to jump into the deep end of the swimming pool where there's a whole lot of context before this verse, and I can't unpack all of it. It's not going to be possible, so I'm probably going to leave you with some questions, which is okay. That's all right. You can go back and talk with the Lord. In fact, good Bereans always check, right? You're always going back and saying, is what pastor teaching right? Is this true? And you have Holy Spirit living in you. You not only can you do that, you should, right? You shouldn't believe what I say just because I say it, especially when I'm on steroids, all right? So, but here's what I know, and I thought, you know what? Here's the burden of the Lord that I feel like I'm carrying on this morning, is I know where I come from, and I probably won't be preaching to everyone right now. And I know that. Not every point that I send out or every word that I send out lands on everyone. But there maybe is someone that needs to hear this. When God first started breaking in my heart and my life with a revelation of how good He is, how much He really actually loves me, when that first started happening, and for a long time, and it still does sometimes, one of the things that would happen is I would read a verse that would light me up about God's love. But right on the back side of that, I would hear, yeah, but what about this verse? I bet I'm not alone in that. Now, the truth is, I had grown up in a movement that mostly focused on the verses that didn't have to do as much with God's love. And so I had a plethora of those memorized. I didn't even know that I had them memorized. But they were in me, right? They were in my brain. And that's okay, because you know how much of the Bible is good? All of it. It's an amazing, beautiful, complex, yet incredibly simple message about the love of God through Jesus, because that's what the whole thing's actually about. So, but I would have to do these wrestling matches, and it's still a part of my walk, and I think it'll be a part of our walk until we go home to be with Jesus, that we continue to wrestle with God through passages of Scripture. One of the things I love about our 1 o'clock Wednesday Bible studies that we do online as pastors, as we go through, it's the one time that we do expository, not suppository, expository teaching. And we go through a whole book of the Bible, right? So when you go through a whole book of the Bible and you don't just pick out a verse to teach on, then you have to wrestle through whatever comes up. And I like that. I actually really enjoy that process. And I enjoy the process of doing it with our pastors. We do it together. We wrestle through those passages together. But I want you to know, for me, it is settled in my heart now that when I wrestle from the understanding that God is always good and He's always love. And so if I don't quite understand the passage, I'm not seeing it fully yet. I'm not fully understanding what God is saying through that passage, because it has to point me to Jesus. And until I see Jesus in that passage, I haven't seen the passage rightly. I didn't always have that. I would have this, yeah, but what about this verse? Because I thought God was this and that. I thought He was loving and just rather than loving, therefore just. And one of those verses that just ate my lunch. Oh, man. Romans 11, two verses, verse 22 through 23. Again, this is the deep end of the swimming pool in Romans. There, we can't unpack it all, but I got to read this verse because I bet some of you think of it. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Anybody know that verse? It's in your Bible, so it's important, right? Consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Go out and give them heaven. So this is what happens to me, or not as much. Now, that's not true. I still wrestle through Scripture, but especially in those early days, man, all these things would pop up. And I can remember even calling my dad sometimes. Why does it say this thing here and this thing there? I'm trying to wrestle with Scripture. And I'm, you know where Jacob met God in his wrestling? He met God in his wrestling. So, but to just kind of get a general idea of this passage, just so you know that this isn't just some crazy interpretation that I've come up with. This is right out of the Believer's Bible Commentary. It says this: it must be constantly borne in mind that Paul is not speaking of the church or of individual believers. He is speaking in the context of Romans 9, 10, and 11. He is speaking about the Gentiles as such. Nothing can ever separate the body of Christ from the head, and nothing can separate a believer from the love of God. So those are other verses that we have to consider. He's the head of his church. We cannot be severed from the head. And nothing, Romans, the same exact book, just a few chapters earlier, he said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Who's the us there? The church, believers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, in this context, Paul is like crying out. Like he starts in Romans 9 and he's like, if I could, I would separate myself and be accursed. I would do that so that my Jewish brothers and sisters could come to know the gospel. His heart was burning with passion, and that's how he would start. Even though he was called to the Gentiles, at city after city, he would start in the synagogues, right? And he would begin with the Jewish people. And as a whole, at this time, the Jewish people had rejected. Now, I'm not doing a full teaching on Israel right now, all right? I will say this, we do not believe in replacement theology, right? We don't believe the church replaced Israel. God has a definite plan for the nation of Israel, where you know that we're a people who pray with and stand with Israel, and at the same time believe God for every other person on the planet to come to know Jesus. But we're thankful for our Jewish roots, right? Well, Paul, keep this in mind, the guy who wrote Romans 11 that we just read is a Jew. Most of the whole Bible was written by Jews. What we have because of the Jewish people. We have a Messiah because of a nation, the Jewish nation. But at this time, Paul is saying, man, my people are not responding to God. And because they haven't responded, it's opened up the door for the Gentiles to respond. But the Gentiles are starting to get kind of cocky about it, right? And there's already a little bit of anti-Semitism coming in, right? Yeah, those Jews over there, right? We're the Gentiles. We're the ones that God's favor is on now. And so Paul is bringing some correction to this kind of thinking and saying, hey, don't get prideful. Don't get prideful about what's going on here with you, because I have a plan. In fact, if you keep reading, he says, all Israel shall be saved. I mean, that's the plan, right? All Israel shall be saved. But I want to read you, it's not in your notes, but it's going to be on the screen. I think Paul Ellis does a great job of saying this better than I can. He said, God's desire is to bless everyone, but not everyone receives his blessing. As a group, the Jews had tried to earn his favor and were cut off. So I want you to notice, he's dealing with this throughout the book of Romans, right? The difference between works and grace, law and grace, self-effort and undeserved favor, trying and trusting. He's contrasting these throughout the book of Romans. In fact, that whole last part of that verse used to get me. It's like, if you remain in his goodness. I'm like, oh, how am I supposed to do that? How do I remain in his goodness? Well, it's certainly not by doing what Paul's been talking about throughout the book and trying to earn it. That is actually what ends up me being in a cut-off place of not being able to receive what actually is freely mine. There was never a point that God wasn't offering it to the Jewish nation. They just weren't as a whole responding at that point. But Paul's saying they will, right? They will. And he's telling these Gentiles, I want you to remain in God's goodness. How do you do that? By trying or trusting? By works or by grace? You simply remain aware of his goodness and actually experience his goodness in your life when you just trust that he's good. He's good and he's good and he's always good. So he goes on to say, it sounds like divine judgment as though God were rejecting them, but look at what Paul says. This is in the context. Did God reject his people? He quotes right out of earlier in Romans 11, by no means. God was not rejecting them. God did not reject his people. They stumbled. They were broken off because of unbelief. So what he says here, and I think it's so good, he says the condemnation of unbelief is self-inflicted. The condemnation of unbelief is self-inflicted, kind of like that quote from C.S. Lewis, the door to hell is locked from the inside. The condemnation of unbelief is self-inflicted. Refuse his blessings and you won't be blessed. In other words, there's always a place in God for you to say no. Love lets you say no. Love allows you to say no and then allows you to self-inflict the cutting off. What is the severity of God? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to allow you to come to me based on how good you think you are and how you got to earn my love and how you got to earn my favor and how good you've kept my commandments and what a good little person you've been all your life. I'm not going to allow you to come to me on that basis. You're my son. You're my daughter. Come before me and just receive my love. Just receive my goodness. Just receive my grace. So God is very severe against pride. He's severe against pride because that refusal to trust, that even inability to trust, God wants to heal that in us so that we can experience the goodness that he always is. And always, whenever I'm thinking about Romans 9, 10, and 11, you always have to remember where he lands the argument. And if you don't know this, then you can get in the weeds and start talking about things like God wants some people to be predestined to know him, and others are predestined to burn in fire forever. And he just did it that way because he's God and don't ask questions. And you get in the weeds on something like that, and we begin to think, well, he's good, but he's good to those people who he's predestined. But what if he predestined me to not know his goodness? I'm telling you, that's dangerous. That kind of teaching hurts. It keeps you from experiencing the fullness of what God wants you to know of his love for you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And how do I know that? Because of where he lands the whole conversation in verse 32. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to how many? By the time he's done with this whole argument of 9, 10, and 11, he's saying, you know what? Everybody got filtered out. There's really one elect, and his name is Jesus. And we are included in him. Yeah. So that is what I'm talking about wrestling with something so that you say, wait a minute, God, what are you saying here? Because otherwise you get right back over into trying to earn and trying to figure out how do I keep in the good graces of God? How do I stay in his good graces? What if I mess up? What do you mean, what if? I don't know who you, you're different than me. Now, the good news is the more that I know of his love, the more that I do walk in the direction that he has for me, right? Here's what Psalms 145:9 says. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Will you tell your neighbor that includes you? Yeah, that includes you. The word good. Now, listen, I'm going to say this before I wrap up that part of what I'm saying. Don't believe me just because, I know you guys aren't like that, but I'm saying it again. Don't believe it just because I just said that. That's what Romans 11 is talking about. Spend time with Jesus in the word. See what he speaks to you. So that word good, when Scripture talks about God being good, that word good, in this specifically, the Hebrew word, it occurs 500 times in the Bible. And the word is used to express many nuances of what good is. And so when I read this definition, I thought, oh, I can see God in every one of these. I got excited. Such as a glad heart. Wonder what God's like. A glad heart. Pleasing words. And a cheerful face. Again, I didn't make up this definition. It's out of Vine's Expository Dictionary. So again, a glad heart, pleasing words, and a cheerful face. Can you imagine those words being connected to God? Gosh, there was a big chunk of my life early on that I couldn't. If you would have told me those words described God, I would have been like, oh, maybe a little bit. but I don't know. I'm not sure. And David is writing, he's saying, listen, he's good. This is who he is. So let's look at it, at least the first one this morning. He has a glad heart. God is a glad-hearted God. Ooh, I just like saying it. I like saying, my God is a glad God. My God is a, let me use this word, a happy God. Filled with joy. Psalm 45 verse 7 says, this is great. This was actually in our daily Bible reading today, this psalm. I got excited about that too. I've been getting excited about everything since I've been on steroids. Psalm 45, and this is a messianic psalm. So this psalm, we know that because it's quoted in the book of Hebrews even, about Jesus. I mean, it's a beautiful psalm. It's about Jesus. It says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Well, then you must be somewhat kind of look like you've been baptized in lemon juice because you hate wickedness. I hate it. I'm going to tell you something right now. I hate wickedness. I love righteousness. And I hate wickedness. And I hate wicked people. And the problem with America is all the wicked people out there, which I'm not one of, but the rest of you out there. He does love righteousness, and he does hate wickedness. He hates what's destroying us. He loves the gift of righteousness that he's given us in his Son. Therefore, God, your Father, Jesus, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Woo! Did you know you can love righteousness, hate wickedness, and be happy? You can love righteousness, hate wickedness, hate the violence, hate the destruction, hate the pain, hate all of that that's destroying people, it's hurting people, and you can hate it with the perfect hatred of God. David talked about that, hating with his hate, hating with a perfect hatred. But the scripture says that he loved righteousness and he hated wickedness, and God said, woo, I'm going to make you glad. Father said, I'm going to anoint you with the oil of gladness more than any of your companions. In other words, there's nobody more glad than Jesus. He loves righteousness, he hates wickedness, and he is happy in himself. Why? Because he knows he's winning. He knows what... Jesus is not worried about how this thing is going to end up. There's nothing in the heart of Jesus, I cannot believe, that one bit he is worried about, man, there's some problems going on now. Oh, man, I wish some people would pray because I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. There's nothing like that going on in Jesus. He's happy and he's full of joy while hating wickedness and loving righteousness at the same time. Oh, and that very verse is quoted about him in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. I love what, was this John Piper that said this? It is good news that God is gloriously happy. No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. Think about that. What would that be like to sit with a God whose face on the throne is... No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. If God is unhappy, then the goal of the gospel is not a happy goal. And that means it would be no gospel at all. But in fact, Jesus invites us to spend eternity with a happy God when he says, enter into the joy of your master. Jesus lived and died that his joy, God's joy, might be in us and our joy might be full. Woo! Therefore, the gospel is the gospel of the glory of the happy God. Ooh, I like that. Isn't that good? The gospel is the glory of the happy God. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Is this the stuff again? Here's what happens. Are you saying God's never mad? No, I didn't say that. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Ooh, I love that, don't you guys? In fact, I wish Quincy had this teaching up to, not this month, but the month before. He did a whole sermon called God's Not Mad at You. Fantastic. Bible, from, you know Quincy, from beginning to end, it was scripture. God's not mad at you. He's mad at what's destroying you. He's mad about you. He's madly in love with you. And he hates what's destroying you. He hates it enough that he's not going to leave you alone. He hates what's destroying you enough that he's not going to leave you alone. I'm gonna run from God and I'm going to hide. Okay, try that, Jonah. He loves you too much to leave you alone in the mess that's destroying you. He hates it and at the same time is fully enthralled with you and happy in his heart about who he created you to be. He can be mad at what's destroying you and never cease being a glad-hearted God. He can do both at the same time. Isn't that good? I love that. So not only do we see that as a glad heart, we have time to do another one. Pleasing words. He has pleasing words for us. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, his words are pleasing. Don't you love that? Even the prophets would talk about that, right? Like honey in the honeycomb, the psalmist said. Your words, it says, same verse in the Message, paraphrase. Your words are so choice, so tasty. I prefer them to the best home cooking. Shh, come on. Man, I go to Arkansas, see my mom and my Aunt Betty. Already I feel my draw coming back. Oh, man. I heard this comedian say this. I think he's right. There's a problem with America is there's a whole generation that never grew up with this phrase, stop it up. Man, I grew up with good home cooking. God's word's better than that. God's word's better. Better than any, sweeter than wine. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, he answered, the scriptures say bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. It is the scripture, but the scriptures themselves teach us that God still speaks to us today. And it's that voice on the inside of you that is constantly speaking over you, destiny and purpose and his plan and his heart and his love and all the good things that he wants to speak to you. Man, I have found this to be true. When somebody has spoken a word over me that called out the yuck, then my head would hang down. But when somebody spoke a word over me that told me where God wanted to take me, my head lifted up and I left the junk behind. God speaks into your life from identity, from who you are. And he holds us accountable to that, saying, hey, you don't have to do this anymore when you can walk in the fullness of who you really are. Every word God speaks is pleasing. Proverbs 3:12 says this, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. For the longest time, I could not get those two words together. Like correct and delight. He's got to be like totally disillusioned with me. Until I finally realized one day, he actually didn't have any illusions about me. He knows exactly who I am, where I've been, where I'm going. He's not surprised by one thing about my life, right? No, he corrects me. He speaks into my life and begins to call out who I really am and call me to live in the direction of who he created me to be. And his delight is behind that. And when the Lord addresses areas in my life that need correction and need his direction, just like you guys. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't need correction. We need correction, right? Faithful even are the wounds of a friend. It's people in our lives that will speak into our life and say, hey, that's not who you really are. I know who you really are. You don't want to live in that direction when this is the real person God created you to be. But the thing that just thrills me is that it comes from the delight of his heart. That he delights in me while he's correcting me. While he's training me, he's delighting in me. What a thought. Parents haven't always been that way, have they? Some of your parents maybe weren't always that way. Some of your parents, well, you guys were. I mean, I'm sure you guys were. You guys in the second row, all your parents. But some of your parents weren't that way. My dad, it's actually kind of unique. Like when he would discipline me, and of course discipline only meant spanking, but I've learned since then it was all the years of training that he had in my life. It wasn't those spankings. It was all the trainings that he brought and the words that he spoke into my life. But when he would have to discipline me, that word that they would use, then he always would say, after he did that, he would say, son, come here, let me tell you how much I love you. What I do in your life, I do because I love you. And so there was always this connection to me, to my dad's heart, except one time, and he owns this too, that he came after me because he's mad. Anybody ever had you? No, don't raise your hand, because your parent might be here. Hey, your parent coming after you when they're mad, and it's flowing from just that I am. That's not God. God's not like that. He delights in you while he corrects you, because he loves you that much. And you know, every word that God speaks to us comes from his delight in us. I love this quote. You've probably seen it before. Religion: I messed up. Dad's going to kill me. The gospel: I messed up. I need to call Dad. Big difference, huh? I messed up. Dad's going to kill me. Or I messed up. I'm calling Dad, because Dad will walk with me through this. Well, you made your bed, just lie in it. No, God doesn't do that. God says, come on, we're going to walk through this thing together. I knew the choice you're going to make before you made it. And we're going to walk this thing out together. We're going to wrap this up. We're doing it. Cheerful face. Number 624, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. I like the way the NLT says it. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Can you imagine a smiling God? This was revolutionary to me in my life, to imagine that there could actually be a God who smiled. Listen to this quote. In all the Bible, Old Testament to New, the word, this is Chris Burns, the word for presence is the exact same Hebrew and or Greek word for face. Presence always means face. Face equals presence. God's face and his presence are like, the presence of God is not an ambiguous fog that drifts into our worship times. It is the very face of God. The presence of God is the face of God, and that face is smiling. Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence. So what does that mean? In your face. That's what David says. In your face is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Smiling God. I wonder if it's different than the picture I want, Lance, or, yeah. Can everybody see that? That is just, I saw that, some of you maybe have seen that meme as well. But that is what sometimes I think the world sees when they see Christians. Except Jesus, you can spend eternity with us. Look at us. They look mad. They look angry. They look depressed. You know what? This is an absolutely true principle. You can see it. It's not only biblical. It's true as you see scientists, archaeologists, or sociologists who go into other cultures. You will always find that you become like the God you worship. You will act like the God you worship. You will look like the God you worship. You will live like the God you worship. If the God you worship looks like that, you're going to look like that. If that's the way God's face looks to you, that's the way your face is going to look to the world. It is a principle we cannot get away from. We will reflect and look like the God, little g, that we worship, or the God, capital G, that we worship, that is revealed in the crucified Jesus. That is revealed in the crucified Jesus that actually said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What in the world? So let's contrast that with this next picture right there. So I think Tana is the first person I ever saw. He had this picture in our house. And I think that's the first. Do we still have that?
Probably somewhere.
Somewhere. But I remember when we first got together, she had this picture, and it's just like, what? Wait a second here. I don't know about that, to sing Jesus like that. I think that Jesus, you would see a lot more of that than we can ever imagine. Luke 17, where his disciples come back, and they've been casting out devils and healing the sick, and it said he rejoiced in the Spirit. He was full of this emotional burst of joy that they actually saw. This is the kind of Jesus a kid would want to be around. That last picture, what kid wants to be around that? That looks more like what you'd think a Pharisee would look like. This right, kids wanted to be around him. The disciples were trying to block him. They were trying to get to him so much. That's one of my favorite episodes of The Chosen early on, is Jesus with the kids, playing with the children. That right there, when we begin to have a revelation of a Jesus that's full of life and full of joy, we walk into the world with that on our face while the world looks like it does right now. I'm not saying things are right in the world. I love righteousness and I hate wickedness and I want to look like that. And how can you look like that? Because let me introduce you to Him. Let me introduce you to the one who's caused my face to be turned to joy because of the joy on the inside. You will look like the God you worship. What happens when we encounter this Jesus? That's what I want you to think about. What happens when we encounter this Jesus? I don't think I have time for the YouTube video that I was going to show today, so we'll skip that. But what I do want us to do, because we have some time to wrap it up this morning, is with this picture, like let's just leave that up there. With this picture right here of Jesus, thinking about His pleasing words, His glad heart, His cheerful face that's in front of us right now. The goodness, He's good. With this picture of Him, I believe that the real, authentic Jesus wants to speak to us from this place. What would this Jesus say to you this morning? What would this Jesus speak to your heart right now? So I want to encourage you to take your notes, take your piece of paper, take your phone, whatever you have to write on or type on. And I want to ask the Lord for just a moment to just this... Look at this Jesus for just a moment. And then close your eyes and I'm going to ask Jesus, you reveal to us on the inside right now that face, that smiling face. And from that place of your smiling face right now, I'm going to ask the Lord just to speak something to each one of you today. And I don't have to ask Him to. That's actually not right. He already is speaking. Today, if you will hear His voice, Scripture says, like five different times in the Bible. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. So, He's speaking right now. He's got things He wants to say to you from that place. So, I'm going to encourage you to take your pen, your phone, whatever you're using, and then just write son or daughter, like it's coming from Heavenly Father, because Jesus is a perfect representation of the Father. And just begin to write whatever comes to you, whatever begins to come up from the inside of you. So, a clue is if you hear, I can't stand you, I don't know why I made you. You can go ahead and erase that. That's not what that Jesus says, right? That's not what He says. So it's not just important that we hear Him. It's that we hear Him with the right filter, that we hear Him with the right vision of who He is and where His disposition, the smiling face. So I'm going to be quiet. Lord, thank You right now that we hear Your voice. And everyone here, so what about people that aren't believers in Jesus yet? How do you think we become believers? We hear His voice. We respond to Him. So right now, I want to encourage you to just begin to write and see what He says to you. I'm going to give you time. Another moment. For some of you, this may be a new thing to you. You've not done this before, and so you're like, what in the world is this church? What are you guys doing? He lives on the inside of every believer. He's on the inside of your heart right now. You say, I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to invite you to just put your faith in Him right now and trust that He wants to speak to you. If you speak to people who've never prayed a prayer, well, ask Cain, because he came and talked to him after he killed his brother. Yeah, he speaks to everybody. Just take a moment, just write a little bit more, see what else he might say. Moment and just give you a chance to shout it out. Like, I love to do this. Lance, is it bad when I do that? You're like, nobody online can hear what people are saying. Should I have someone run a mic? Okay. Okay. So just let them yell it out. All right. So anybody want to just say, here's what God said to me. Just shout it out. What is it? Carrie, I am your father. Yes. I love it. That is good. Oh, come on, Rich. That's so good. I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, come on. That's so good. Anybody else? Yeah. That's so good. I love it. It's good, Dorothy. Yes. Trust me, my joy what? Oh, joy comes from him. Yes. That's right. That's a good word. That's exactly right. Sounded like Alden. Is that right? I like to try. I got to try. Anybody else? I delight greatly in you. Woo! I like that. I'll take that one. You hear somebody else say something, you say, I wish he'd have said that to me. Just go ahead, take it. Take it. He lives on the inside of you. If he would say that to them, he'd say that to you too, right? Anybody else?
It's okay.
Oh, come on, man. Sometimes that's just what you need to hear, isn't it? You're wringing your hands and he's saying, it's all right. It's okay. That's awesome. Whew, that's good, guys. I got, I'm doing it with you, of course. And I am so stinking proud of you. I didn't know he said stinking, but he just did to me. This was so much fun for me today. And get ready for the ride of your life. Yeah, all right, that sounds good to me. I'll go for that. So let's stand. We could do this all day. And you're like, no, we can't. I got to get going. I get that. So, could I have you join me, Scott, and just be my eyes for just a second before we leave? If you're here and you've never surrendered your life with our heads, eyes closed for just a moment, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, or you have and you say, you know what, I've kind of walked away and I want to say yes to his yes today. I always say this, you can't make him say yes to you. He's already done that. You just say yes to his yes. He gives you that opportunity today. And like we learned today, you can say no if you want to. Love gives you that place. But why would you want to? Why would you want to miss out on all the good that he has for you? So this morning, with no one looking, raise your hand if that's you. And you say, you know, I just this morning, and just by raising my hand, it's just like this small little act. Raising my hand, it doesn't even seem like a big deal, but it's this little tiny little act. It's amazing what little acts do in the Bible. Little fish and loaves, little acts. And so with you raise your hand real quick. If you say, that's me, I need to surrender my life to Jesus today. Does anybody need to do that? Raise it up high and keep it up till Scott sees you, if you would. Anyone? Anyone? All right. Well, Lord, if there's anyone online this morning, you pray that prayer. Just say, yes, Lord, to your yes. I surrender. I give. I trust you. And where I, how about pray this prayer? I believe, help my unbelief. That's a legit prayer. I believe, help my unbelief, God. I just turn my life over to you. You go for it, God. Whatever you got for me, I know it's good because you're always good. You guys, 39 years. I did it today. I did it. I made it through my notes all the way. God is good. And you are like, and you could have quit 15 minutes ago. So God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your week. We have prayer teams up front ready to pray for you. They're going to come up right now. If you want prayer for anything, they'll pray for you. Otherwise, have an amazing week. that beautiful picture of Jesus that was up there a while ago, let's go out and give that. Keep giving them heaven.